So without further ado, let's get into the program today. Our Veteran Services Officer, John Reed, nice to have you on the program.
It's good to be here again.
John, how long have you been doing this now?
I've been doing this 5.5 years now and change, since July of 06. Chris Kane came on board the 1st of August as my admin assistant, and since then we've just been kicking butt with veterans.
Well, your history, you are a veteran.
I am. And
where did it begin for you? Can you talk about why you joined the armed services when you did?
Well, at the ripe old age of 17. After graduating from high school, I joined the Navy. Had to have my mother sign for me. Unbeknownst to her, I had everything, all the ducks in a row. All she had to do was sign, and I was gone. And 30 years came and went so damn fast, I have no idea.
30 years Navy?
30 years in the Navy. I was a hospital corpsman. I was trained to go with the FMF, Fleet Marine Force.
Mm-hmm.
My first tour of duty with the Marines was in Vietnam. I was with 1st Recon Battalion, Poop and Snoop, Swift, Silent, and Deadly.
Poop and Snoop?
Poop and Snoop. they'd pick us up, and they'd take us out in the jungle, and they'd drop us off, and then they'd come back 3 or 4 days later and pick us back up.
Wow.
After we'd done either an area recon or a prisoner snatch or something like that. You know, so, you know, our job was to find the enemy and have somebody else fight them. The only problem was sometimes they found us.
Yeah.
But, and then, you know, over the period of 30 years, I spent approximately 13 or 14 years with the Marines, and the rest was with the Navy. Some friends asked me, well, how much time did you have at sea? And I said, well, about 1.5 years. In 30 years? And I said, yeah. I said, but my sea duty was usually with the Fleet Marine Force, so anytime I went with the Marines, except there was a shore duty tour in Indianapolis for 3.5 years.
And so your career with the military, you've seen a lot of different aspects of the military, it sounds like.
Yeah.
You've been in the war zone. You've been outside of that. That must give you an advantage in understanding military as it's sort of changed. Things have changed.
The Navy I left in 94 after 30 years is not the same Navy yet.
How is it different now?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure. All I do is I read the stuff. You know, they got different uniforms now. They got camouflage sea uniforms, you know, instead of dungarees. I don't know what's with that. You know, hey, everybody's wearing khaki shirts now. I mean, hell, the chiefs and officers wore khaki. Now the junior enlisted are wearing khaki. I don't know what's going on, you know, but, you know, it's okay. You know, change is good. I mean,
things seem like they're become very high tech, but that doesn't change things always. I mean, guys are still going out. And
guys are still going out. They're still working hard out there. They're still a clear and present danger to their bodies, you know, no matter what they're doing. You know, you can put all the safety concerns you want, you know, and safety factors into what they do, but there still is propensity for injury, for damage, you know, so it goes on constantly. I mean, anytime you're in the service, there is, you know, that possibility that you're going to be injured or killed.
When you how did you come about the position anyways? Did you randomly or to work for Lincoln County?
I retired in 94, came out to Oregon sight unseen from New Orleans, where I retired as a command master chief at the clinic.
Wow.
There. And had a friend who was my command master chief in Okinawa, Japan, who was living out in Toledo. And he says, come on out. There's room for both of us, because master chiefs seem to have swelled heads. You know, we predict weather and stuff like that. So we came out sight unseen. I was still active duty when I was here. I didn't retire. I wasn't fully retired until the 1st of September, and we got here in June. I was on terminal leave and started putting out my resume and what have you. During my service tour, I picked up a bachelor's degree in business management, so I was looking at business and everything else, and ended up getting hired out in Toledo as a retail manager and worked there for 11.5 years. And then when the boss sold the pharmacy, I went with the pharmacy because there wasn't anything much left to manage out there. And I worked there about 6 days.
Were you at Mike's Mercantile?
Yeah.
That where you were? Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And when he sold his pharmacy to Rite Aid, I went and worked for Rite Aid for 6 days and realized that my 59-year-old body was not going to withstand that kind of tempo and everything else. So I quit and picked up the newspaper and looked at the want ads for the first time. And this position was advertised.
Sure enough.
On Wednesday, and it was going to close on Friday. Check with the wife. She says, honey, whatever you want to do. And I dropped her off for an appointment at the hospital, came down with my nice, clean resume, filled out an application, and then went through the interview process with 6 interviewers, which is interesting.
Uh-huh.
And they made me an offer, and then they revised the offer. That was going to be a 32-hour with an assistant VSO, 20 hours, but the assistant VSO was looking for full-time, so they came back with a counter offer and said, we'll give you 40 hours a week, and you can hire an admin assistant.
Well, you know, I have to say, I don't know other veteran services officers other than you.
Mm-hmm.
To me, you seem perfectly suited. Your enthusiasm, your attention to detail. So you're the only one I know, but you seem dedicated to the work you're doing. That comes from your personality.
I enjoy the job.
Why?
I enjoy the job. In the year 2000, the VSO here introduced me to the VSO process. Mm-hmm. Being retired military, I have my TRICARE health coverage and everything else, but Agent Orange became an issue. I had prostate cancer, and I went through treatment, and I paid for the majority of it with TRICARE, and then the rest of it came out of my pocket. But then Agent Orange was the big thing, so I went to see the VSO at that time, and she set me up with the VA and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And then we went for other things after that, and she impressed me a lot. And it's just been, you know, it's my fit. This is where I kind of fit in, and I sleep well at night because of it, except on those nights when I really have epigastric problems. But
Lincoln County Connections, Veteran Services Officer John Reed with us today. John, of course, you're not alone in your department. You do have one other.
I have a very able assistant, Chris Kane. Chris is, she does all those things that if I had to do them, I wouldn't be able to do the job.
Mm-hmm.
With the admin assistant there, she's dug into this thing so well that she is right there for the veteran. She gets some services, gets some appointments, does calls in for their prescription refills from the VA and what have you, you know. And it's just a joy to have her there. Like I say, if she wasn't there, I couldn't do this.
Well, you guys, for two people, are making quite an impact. Let's talk some numbers. How many dollars are you realizing for county veterans?
Well, in the 5.5 years we've been up there, and this is just cumulative on new claims,
mm-hmm.
okay, we've done over $10 million in claims.
Wow.
If you go onto the VA website and you see what the impact from the VA is for Lincoln County, and they do break it down by counties, you will find that in 2006, in 2005, the year before we came on board, Lincoln County veterans were getting approximately about $12 million
mm-hmm.
of money, VA money coming into the county. The last time I looked at it, it's over $26 million that is coming into the county from the VA for disability compensation, for pensions, for widows' pensions, for health benefits, for educational benefits, and the like.
When someone is discharged, they and their career, do they understand that they're going to be seeking out somebody like you in their local areas to follow through with any benefits that they may have coming towards them? What's it like for an individual?
Some of the services are doing, they're doing pre-claims before they even get out of the service.
Okay.
I'm not too happy with those because it just leaves too many worms in the can. They do a shotgun effect with probably a less than double-aught buck, I'm sure, because they just throw it out there and see what settles. Whereas I tend to get the veteran in my office and I get them in there, and they do know that they have veteran services. But then Oregon is special. Oregon is special in the fact that they have a veteran service officer in almost every county. There are some VSOs. That's veteran service officer talk for veteran service officer.
VSO?
Yeah. They do have, I think there's five counties in the state that share a veteran service officer because of the demographics.
Some of the rural areas.
Exactly.
Maybe, have smaller populations.
Exactly. Our previous model of just having a veteran service officer doing a 32-hour week by themselves, doing all the filing, all the claims, all the phone calls and everything else. In the past, restricted without an admin assistant, they were able to bring in maybe $200,000 to $300,000 a year in claims. With this present model, with an admin assistant and a full-time VSO, you know, we're able to do what we do and do approximately $2 million a year.
Yeah, and good to point out that with two compared to one, I mean, you've really more than doubled or tripled. I mean, it's, you know, an exponential amount of work that you guys are being able to get in. Is there something about the way you look at people and their claims that facilitates a quick-moving process? Or?
Well, I think when you walk into my office, you'll see that I have my military memorabilia up on the walls. I have it on my desk. My desk looks like a disaster area because, you know, don't touch my piles. I know exactly where everything is. But you have to establish that rapport with the veteran in order to get the material out of him
gotcha.
That you need. If I could stress anything, it would be that when a veteran comes in, he should have his DD-214, which is his discharge separation sheet. It has all the information I need on it most of the time. If he can get a copy of his health record, that is most advantageous. A copy of his service record is advantageous, too, in things like military sexual trauma. Prior to somebody being traumatized, you can see what their performance is. Following traumatization, you'll see that their performance tends to decline after that. So those are things that we look at. Being a veteran myself, you know, I can establish that I not only talk the talk, I've done the walk. And that's the biggest thing, is getting that feeling that, you know, I'm not just somebody there to fill out a form and shove it into the system. We try to do as much development on the forms as we possibly can, medical records, the whole shooting match.
You're looking at quite a wide view. And you had said that to me earlier that every veteran is different. Can you explain that?
If you were to stand, put people and take an intersection, you know, with four corners on it, mm-hmm. and put a person on each corner, and then an accident occurs at that intersection, you're going to have four completely different stories of what they saw. You're going to have four completely different reactions to what happened. We have some veterans who have gone through the same experience side by side, and one may be rated at 60%, the other may be rated at 40% mm-hmm. or 20%, because no two veterans are alike. We all, through our being raised through our childhood, our experiences in school, just our family makeup, we all react differently. You talk about the greatest generation. I call it the suck-it-up generation. A man doesn't talk about what happened.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lot of families have. They know their dad was in the war, in the big war, but they have no idea what he did, what he saw, you know, what experiences he had.
Right.
He may talk about the good times, but he won't talk about the
right.
bad times.
It's like my dad would say, your grandpa just doesn't talk about that.
That's right. He just doesn't talk about that. The only people they will talk to it about are other veterans, you know, who have gone mm-hmm. through the same thing. And that's what I try to do. I try to establish that rapport so I can pull this out of them and get it done. The other thing is I do is I fill out the form on the computer and print it out for their signature. Some VSOs will hand the form to the veteran and say, fill it out and bring it back to me.
Gotcha.
I work with them right there one-on-one. We do about four or five appointments a day and walk-ins. We try to work with the veteran to get all that experience, all those things that happened to them on board. And like I told you before, you know, 80% of most claims are for hearing loss and ringing in the ears.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't wear hearing protection in combat. If you're with an artillery unit, you may have a tendency to wear hearing protection, but it's inadequate to the task.
You had said that in Oregon, VSOs, is it getting extra training or just more resources that you guys have? You've talked to other VSOs in other states, and do they say, God, I wish we had it like you guys have in Oregon, where we...
Oregon is fantastic, and I see a lot of the other states that are looking at their programs and seeing that they can change. We're lucky enough, and some people see this as a negative, some people see it as a positive. I tend to see it as a positive. The Oregon Department of Veterans Affairs has stepped up to the plate, and they provide training twice a year. And they also, in regards to that training, they do the accreditation testing to accredit the veteran service officer to the VA. We do not work for the state. We do not work for the VA. We work for the county, and that's the biggest thing, is we work for the county and the veterans in that county. When you talk about fiscal impact, we've been able to get, for those veterans to come in, we get them service connects for hearing loss. We've been able to get it done so that we can get them their hearing aids right here in Lincoln County. They don't have to go all the way to Portland to get their hearing aids. We set them up with an appointment here. They go down, they get molded, and get their hearing aids right here. And it's amazing what they're doing.
So, John, just to give us the quick FAQ, if somebody's listening that has a family member, a friend that's just coming out of the military, when they to get prepared to come see you, first they got to call you and make an appointment? Is that where the process begins?
They can do a walk-in. They can do a walk-in, but we prefer the appointments. I take the appointments over the walk-ins. If a walk-in comes in, you know, I'll work with them as long as I can until the appointment shows up, and I will have them either sit down in the waiting room, we'll finish up with them if we can, or we will set them up with an appointment and get them in. So, you know, and we guide them by the hand. I don't just throw the sheets at them and tell them to fill them out.
Right.
And I think that's the biggest thing. And Chris is right there to back me up and say, shouldn't you have done this? Shouldn't you have done that?
Mm-hmm.
And I says, yeah, I probably should have. She caught me yesterday. I was doing a widow's claim. And I have to have a power of attorney. I have to have a Privacy Act statement signed by the widow. And I had completely blown through it. And she kindly reminded me, said, don't you want a
good for Chris
limited power of attorney for this to act as her advocate, you know, and a privacy? I said, thank you very much, Chris. You're very correct. So she's there to back me up and keep me on the straight and narrow. At 65, I tend to lose a few things here and there.
Well, I guess the reassurance is to those veterans out there that if there's help, there's someone who will walk you through the process.
Oh, absolutely. We're there for the veteran. And I think that's the biggest thing, you know. The only barrier between them getting into my office is air.
And you've been there, so you know. John, we can guide people to the Lincoln County's website. Of course, there's a link there for veteran services. And you guys are open 5 days a week,
5 days
right?
a week. Normally on Thursday, if there's a outreach, I go out to those veterans who are housebound, who are bedridden, whatever, who have never filed a claim or have to have something done with their claim on Thursdays.
You will make house calls if necessary.
On Thursdays. And the first Thursday of every month, I'm up at the Lincoln City Senior Center from 10 to 2. So those people in Lincoln City don't have to drive all the way down to Newport. And I get some fairly good showings there, and some days it's kind of like, you know, I'm reaching out real hard to find somebody.
Well, John, thank you so much for coming on the program. Let's have you back again. I know we've just, you know, barely cracked the surface on everything that you're doing. Appreciate it. You and Chris, great work.
We enjoy it.
And we'd like to have you back on the program. Thanks for listening today. And remember, this has been Lincoln County Connections. And I do want to remind you that you can go to the Lincoln County's website there. There's a link to the Veteran Services Department. There you'll find information. And please make clear that the VA clinic, you do not call the Veteran Services Office to reach the VA clinic.
No, you
However,
do not.
However, on the website, we do have that phone number there for you, just to clarify that the two are two different things. Next week on the program, it looks like we're going to have Jenny Damaris followed by Cinda Bruce on the 20th. And you've been listening to Lincoln County Connections. Have a great day.